Radio friends, the scriptures that we consider together today are recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the verses 35 through 38. In that portion of the Bible we read, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool! That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body." Not the least of the problems confronting God's church at Corinth was that some of them denied the resurrection of the body. Corinth, a church organized through the mission labors of the Apostle Paul, was troubled. It was troubled by carnal divisions among her members, by gross sexual immorality, by a proud self-importance. It was troubled by bloated opinion of spiritual gifts, by the corruption of the Lord's Supper into gluttony and drunkenness, and by worship services in Corinth which were chaos. And for all of these problems, the Apostle Paul brought the Word of God, a word intended to humble the church in repentance beneath the cross and to restore them to the gospel of Christ crucified and risen. Paul is an example to us in the book of 1 Corinthians of one who loved the church, who labored tirelessly, unceasingly to correct and to admonish and to show the church the excellent way that they are to walk. But amid all the troubles that confronted the church of Corinth, there was something worse. There were those who said that there was no resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul asked them in the 15th chapter, "How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" We do not know the particulars of who these people were, but the point is that in 1 Corinthians 15, we have in the scriptures an elegant, bold and glorious defense of the truth of the resurrection in Christ. Paul, in that chapter, summons up argument after argument to show that if there is no resurrection, then there is no atonement for sin, no reconciliation with God, no gospel without the resurrection. We are without hope in the world. And so, as a church of Jesus Christ, we do not negotiate. We do not accommodate the truth of the resurrection to the objections of unbelief, but we stand upon the rock of faith and declare, "Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." The Apostle Paul, however, will not separate the truth of the resurrection from all the problems that Corinth was experiencing. He says to them, if there's no resurrection of the dead, what's the point of it all? Verse 30 of the chapter that I'm referring to, 1 Corinthians 15, he asks, "Why stand we in jeopardy every hour? What advantage is it to me if the dead rise not?" In effect, the apostle is saying, all the labor, all the pouring out of my heart, all the endurance, all the patience, all the firmness to address your problems, to deal with your sins, and to correct the sins of God's people, all of this, what's the worth of it if Christ is not risen? We may apply that to the history of the church. All the struggles of God's people, all the sacrifice, all the loss of reputation and of life, all the suffering and persecution, all the teaching, all the preaching, all the services. What is this all worth if Christ is not risen from the dead? You may apply it to your own life personally. All the energies that you put into the Christian life, all the love for the church, all the desire to maintain the church in the truth, all the desire to live as a member of Jesus Christ in the love of God on earth and to live a holy life, what's it all worth if Christ is not risen from the dead? It's not worth anything, for you see, the resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. The scriptures declare, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." Look at it positively. That means all the labor, all the struggle, all the Christian life, all the efforts, all the sacrifice, everything involved in the church and everything involved in the Christian life. It's all worth it. Our labor is not in vain because the Lord is risen. The resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. In verse 35 that I read to you, the Apostle Paul gets right down to it, and he confronts the basic objection of the human mind to the resurrection of the dead. That objection is this: how is it possible? What kind of body is that? And especially, the objection means this: you cannot mean the resurrection of this body. How are the dead raised up? With what body do they come, is the question. Mankind, and you and I of ourselves, would ask, well, do you mean the continued existence of the soul? We can believe that. There's people who talk about reincarnation. There's a lot of interest in spirits and the beyond and communicating with those who are gone beyond. Well, we can appreciate that something of a man, his soul or spirit or ghost, somehow continues, but the body, the flesh and blood laid in the grave or incinerated into ashes, the body which rots and stinks and decays and is broken down by microorganisms and worms, the body of a loved one laid in the coffin, there's no movement. The eyes become sunken. That body shall live? How is that possible? Remember the Apostle Paul in the second missionary journey when he stood in the city of Athens before the world's philosophers and he had an attentive audience. When he declared to them that there is one God, and this one God is the Creator, and this one God will confront men, and this God is not physical, but is a spirit who will judge men. But then he came in his sermon to these words: God hath raised Jesus from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. You see, man cannot attain of himself to the truth of the resurrection of the dead. But the Word of God can. The infallible Scriptures give us an explanation. They give us an explanation for our comfort. And they give us an explanation for our practical living in the body. The Apostle declares that the body of the Christian will also be raised by the power of Jesus Christ. This is all of the Scriptures, of course. Job knew this already in Job 19, verse 25. He said, though worms destroy this my body, yet in my flesh, shall I see God. The Apostle Paul declared it in Philippians 3, verse 21, that Christ shall change our vile bodies, that they may be fashioned like unto his most glorious body. And how will he do that? According to his own power, whereby he is able to subdue everything to himself, we shall be changed. But the question still remains, how are the dead raised up? How is it possible for life to come out of death? How is it possible for a corrupt and decayed dust body to be restored? And, still more, with what body do they come? What kind of body is it? What will they be like? We know what they're like now. We need to breathe, eat, rest. They grow old, they bleed, they're subject to disease. Is that the kind of body we will have again? Would it not be better that we simply conceive that our souls are preserved in a different body, created out of different material? Isn't it really absurd to think that this, our present body, shall go beyond the grave? Now listen to God's word as it answers, as it insists that the identity of the resurrection body is this, my body, changed, marvelously reconstructed, but this body. What does the word of God say? O fool, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, that which thou sowest, says the apostle, is not quickened except it die. The Word of God is answering our questions. How are the dead raised up? Well, the answer is, first of all, reminding us of the Lord's words to the Sadducees, Matthew 22, verse 29. Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. You have no dilemma with the resurrection of the body when you believe the Scriptures and the power of God. And how? How are the dead raised up? By the power of God. The apostle says, God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. If you wonder how the body of the child of God which dies, and even after centuries roll over that grave, is lost. How that soldier killed on the battlefield and his blood soaked into the ground, and now is gone forever, we would say. How is it possible for that to be traced? Here's the answer. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? God will raise it up. Here's the answer. Divine omnipotence and omniscience will do it. Divine omnipotence, the all power of God, aided with divine omniscience, God's perfect knowledge by his power and knowledge, God will raise the body. But the question is, with what body then do they come forth? And here the apostle uses the figure of a seed. That which thou sowest is not quickened, made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. What is he saying? He's saying, a seed of grain of wheat is put into the ground, and it dies. The exterior part of it decays and forms the life which the germ of the wheat seed has, so that the wheat comes forth. The seed dies, with the exception of that particle, almost too small to be seen, that germ of wheat. Now, one has no doubt that that which is arising is the very seed, the same seed that was sown. So our bodies, as they now consist, are going to die. But by the power of God, that body shall be raised in newness of life. That body shall, with the trump of the angel, arise in a far more glorious form. The identity of the body is preserved. The body shall awake, the body of the child of God, shall awake from the bed of silent dust and cold clay, and it shall be made glorious. Make no mistake, the very body which is sown in the earth shall spring forth to eternal life, but it shall spring forth gloriously, through a change which is unimaginable to us. The very flesh and blood which was buried, the very flesh and blood that was burned, that was lost, the very eye that closed in death, and the very hand which grew still and cold, these shall live again, they shall rise again. Our bodies tell us that our biology tells us that our bodies are changing, and that every few years, every 10 years, we really have a different body. There's the continual wearing away of the flesh and the replacing of skin and even bone. And yet I am the same. So also God shall watch over our bodies, and he shall raise them again by the power of Jesus Christ. Remember this. Remember this in a practical sense, that the very body in which you live, in which you believe in Jesus Christ, shall one day be raised, and you shall be in this body glorified before the presence of God. You shall walk in it in the streets of gold in the New Jerusalem. Remember this, that you yield your body now as instruments unto righteousness, and that you care for your body. Your body is redeemed, and it is not the servant of sin. What care, what purity we ought to have for our human bodies. Our human body is not something that we should starve or stuff. is not something that we should use to tantalize and tickle our lust. But our human body is a gift of God. It's a great gift of God. It's as precious to God as your soul. And He will redeem it. And He calls you to live in it now to His honor and to His glory. But it shall be a glorious transformation. A transformation that is beyond our ability to comprehend in this day. Our bodies now are in corruption. They are in dishonor. They are in weakness. But when they are raised in Jesus Christ, they shall be raised in incorruption, in glory, and in power. Our bodies now are a natural body. They are made for this earth, for this present time. But they shall be raised a spiritual body. They shall be made for the time which is to come, for eternity. We shall be raised, body and soul, through Jesus Christ. For Christ arose from the dead with immortal life in His body, and all those who are in Him God also shall raise from the dead. That's a glorious gospel. That's a gospel which is declared to us as the gospel of God. You, child of God, will be raised. In glory, just as now, there shall not be two bodies exactly alike. The body of Paul will not be like Peter, and Andrew will not be like John. When Christ arose, He preserved in His body His own identity, and so also we shall all stand in our own identity. In glory, but we shall all again be redeemed. We shall be alike in that we shall be raised in glory, but we shall not all be alike. We shall not all be clones one of another, but we shall stand forth in the glory of God's grace, which is shown in many sons brought to glory. We shall know Isaiah from Jeremiah. We shall together glorify God, but we shall all together be different, different not in resurrection, but different in the uniqueness of our own body. The identity of the body is preserved. How this ought to encourage us to endure our trials in this present life. How this ought to direct us in the care of our bodies in this present life. And how this speaks of how awful it is for the wicked. For the wicked, too, the Bible declares, shall be raised from the dead. Those who know not Christ, those who repent not, they shall also be raised in the body. But they shall be raised in order that body and soul they might be damned in the pit of hell. That's the truth of the Scriptures, too, and we tremble before it, and we declare it. Flee from the wrath that is to come. Evil living in the body, giving the body over, living a life without repentance, and filling the body with the lusts of the flesh, giving your eyes unto lust, and your lips to drink down drunkenness, and your ears to listen to ungodliness. Those eyes, those lips, those ears, they also, then, shall be subjected to the wrath of God. The lips shall drink down the wrath of God. The eyes shall be filled with horror, and the ears shall listen to the groans of the damned. The call of the gospel is, repent. Fear God, said Jesus, who is able to cast both soul and body into hell. But for the child of God in Jesus Christ, there is no fear. There is great joy. There is great anticipation. We believe this by the grace of God. And may grace give us that highest wisdom, that we may look upon the cross and see Jesus Christ, who has died for me, and now is risen from the dead, and is ascended up into heaven, who is the power of the living God, who controls all things. And belonging to Him, we need never fear. Ours is the victory. Ours is the victory now. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have the presence of God. We have the oath of God's faithfulness to us. He shall preserve us, but then we have more. In death, our soul shall be taken into His very presence. And then we have yet more. The body that is laid into the cold earth, that body too the Lord shall take for Himself in the day of His glory when He returns. And so the gospel to you, child of God, is this: hope, hope to the end. Never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Live unto Him, and live in the assurance of the resurrection of soul and body to everlasting life. And all of this by the grace of God alone. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word, and we pray that it may be a blessing now unto our souls. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.